Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Focus on Albany. Today I am debuting a brand new segment to Focus on Albany. It's called In the Know with Zach Simpson. Zach is a community activist. He's been involved in, you know, community activities. He's been involved in politics. And he cares a lot about the community. And, you know, when I spoke to him about coming, I focused on Albany. He said he would love to. And we've talked in the last week about, you know, what the format will be. And we're probably going to do a show once a week. The title of the show will be In the Know. And I want to introduce Zach right now. So, Zach, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, first, Cynthia, thank you so much for having me as a weekly segment on your show. I'm very, very delighted, and I am over the moon about it. I'm really excited about it. So thank you again. Let me tell you about myself. So I grew up in the Helderberg Hill towns, the town of Knox. You know, it's about population, well, 2,200, 2,300. I grew up in Knox my whole life, you know, until I was 18. I went to Burnox Westville High School, graduated, went to my first 2 years of college was at SUNY at New Paltz, where I think I got my first little taste of activism. It was a very liberal campus down there. And then I ended up coming to University of Albany for the last 2 years of my bachelor's degree. And I've been living in the city of Albany for almost 20 years. And for the last few years, I've been very involved with the community. I've become vice president of my neighborhood association. I'm on the executive committee of Council of Albany Neighborhood Associations. I serve as a trustee of the Rapp Road Historical Association. I'm a Democratic committee member of the Albany County Democratic Committee in the 12th Ward. And I'm very active in the community. I go to a lot of meetings, a lot of city meetings, you know, a lot of community events, a lot of neighborhood association meetings. So thank you, everybody. Thank you, Cynthia, for having me.
So when we first talked about you becoming a regular contributor to Focus on Albany, and you said yes, what made you jump at this opportunity?
Well, when you first had me on your show, to talk about Stop the Stories, the movement that I'm a part of. I really think it's a great outlet. It's a great, you know, vehicle to give information to people. And, you know, I go to a lot of, you know, common council meetings. I go to a lot of planning board meetings. So if I can talk about a lot of these current events with you, because, you know, you and I both share a passion for politics. And, and so I think it's a win-win for everybody, and if I can share it on Facebook and get it out there to other people that live in the city of Albany so they can stay informed about what's going on in the city, I think it's a great thing.
Terrific. So as you thought about it, what are some, you know, right off the top of your head, what are some of the issues that you feel are important to talk about in this summer of 2019?
Well, certainly gun violence has been at the forefront. It was, I believe, a couple weeks ago, I went down to the corner of Elizabeth and 2nd Street, where that child was at his daycare provider and struck by a stray bullet. Do you remember that? Were you aware of that?
Yep.
So gun violence is at the forefront of my mind. I actually went down there and stood in unity with 518 Snug, which is an organization that, you know, is combating gun violence. And so that's definitely a biggie. Other issues, our police department, I don't know if you're aware, is down. I've heard people say it's 45, 50, 55 officers, but we're short. So I'm concerned about public safety in our neighborhoods, particularly the uptown neighborhoods, because we don't have much of a police presence most of the time. So we want to make sure that we're staying vigilant in our community. Let's see. Obviously, zoning. I'm a part of Stop the Stories, so we're definitely focusing on the amendments to the USDO, the zoning in the city of Albany, and we're also supporting Council Member Hoey. He's got a couple of pieces of legislation before the council now. One of them is to get rid of a provision that's in the USDO, which basically gives the planning department the ability to override provisions in the USDO. and the other one is legislation where no building or demolition permits will be issued until all of the city, state, and federal directives are satisfied. So zoning is definitely a biggie. And the conditions of our roads. I think there's a lot of potholes out there. There's a lot of traffic issues going on in the city of Albany. So that's definitely something that's at the top of my list.
Now, you say there's quite a number of police officers that the city should be, you know, we need more police officers in the city of Albany. Has the force diminished because of retirement, because of people just not wanting to be cops? Well, or what's the story with that? That's a lot of people.
Well, I think retirement is definitely a component of it. Also, people do lateral transfers from, they become a City of Albany police officer. We train a lot of our officers here. And then they do like a lateral transfer out to like Gilderland or Colony, or they even become state troopers. So I think we're losing people that in that respect as well. So, it's not just an Albany issue. It's a pretty wide issue across the country. I think we just have to work on recruiting, training these officers and keeping them here, maybe some sort of incentive to, keep the officers from leaving to go somewhere else. I don't foresee this issue resolving in the short term.
I'm sure that you look at the Times Union and, the readership has declined in the past couple of years. The paper itself does not, cover issues that need more in-depth covering. So from your perspective, as you go around and you talk to people and you go to events and meetings, how do you think most people get their news? And do you think that the people in the city of Albany are as informed as they should be?
Well, I mean, I think it's very individualistic. Some people don't stay informed at all. Some people do read the Times Union, read CNN.com. I stay in touch with, the national news and current events, the state and the local. I still read the Altamont Enterprise. It's the local paper from when I was living in the town of Knox when I was a kid. It's the town of Gilderland, Altamont, and the Hilltowns. So I still even look to that for information. So I think generally people are informed. People, generally care about, what's going on in the city. I think, last year with the increased violence, I think it made a lot of people very concerned about the direction our city's going in. This year, it doesn't seem as though it's as much of a heightened level of violence in the city. So I'm hoping it's not just an anomaly and it's a trend that, we're not going to see too much going forward. But
as I had mentioned when we spoke last week, my anniversary show, you know, people in the city of Albany tend to vote along party lines, and they think along party lines. And one of the things that I think is interesting about you, Zach, is the fact that, you know, you and I have talked about Joe Sullivan, who lived, you know, in, by Buckingham Pond on New Scotland. He was much more conservative than the both of us are. But he espoused issues that you're espousing. You know, you talked about your neighborhoods and watching your neighborhood for stuff that you think didn't belong in the neighborhood. You're very concerned about rezone, as he has. And what I talked about, you know, with Joe, you know, before he passed away, is that, you know, people tend to think along the lines of, well, is this a Democratic issue? Can I even think about this? And, you know, and people vote that way. They listen to the news that way. And what I like about you is the fact that you tend to think the way Joe did, even though you're not as conservative as he was. And I think that's very important, because I think people have to start looking beyond party labels. What do you think?
Oh, sure. Yeah. You know, I am a Democrat. I'm a proud progressive Democrat. But you know, I'm fiscally conservative. I didn't know Joe Sullivan well, but I know that he was a very well respected member of our community, and you know, a lot of people do miss him. When did he pass away?
It was last January.
Yeah. You know, I guess you could say my community activism can go back to when I was a child and watched my mother and father do a petition drive in my small hometown. There was a trailer court that was trying to double in size, and it was right up against my parents', you know, property line. A lot of people in town were not in favor of this project, and it almost went through. But my parents went door to door for weeks upon weeks, and they collected, I think it was well over half of the signatures of all the people in the town to oppose the project. And it got stopped. It got stopped in its tracks. And that's when my dad actually, in recognition of how hard he worked, he became a member of the Town Zoning Board of Appeals for 20 years.
So.
I see some parallels. I see some parallels with, you know, my parents and what they did and what I'm doing today.
Well, that's terrific. You know, people complain, but they don't do anything about it. You know, they'll complain about their elected officials or what's going on in the city, but yet they kind of just go about their daily lives without making an effort to change it. And, you know, I think it's commendable what you do.
Thank you.
So, Zach, what do you want to talk about? You know, this is kind of like an introduction, and, you know, I met you at a political event, and you just by chance sat down at the table that I was on, and I gave you my card, and that's how we started talking. So,
yeah.
What do you think, you know, in subsequent episodes, what would you like to start this off with? What would you like to talk about in our first few segments?
Well, definitely things going on in the city. You know, as I said, I go to common council meetings. I do go to, like, fundraisers. I go to community meetings. I go to the Stop the Stories meeting every week, so I'd like to talk about that on a regular basis. You know, I just want to, you know, if somebody doesn't make it to an event that they really wanted to go to, maybe I went, and I can just talk about it, and people will, you know, kind of get the flavor of what happened. Yeah, I think it was kind of fate that you and I met at that fundraiser that night. I think it's great. I think I'm proud of everything you do. I can't believe you did 1,000 podcasts. That's awesome. And I just want to talk about, you know, what happens each week, what I found out, because lots of times I do get little tidbits of really valuable information from people, and I can disseminate it here on the program.
Okay, that sounds good. And, you know, one of the things that I've done, I think it's over the maybe more than a year, and that's to have Mark Grimm, who's a county legislator, come on once a month to talk about what's going on in the county. But since this is an election year, he's kind of shy about it because he doesn't want to say anything to add fuel to the fire to his opponent. And, you know, we talked about how few people, you know, really understand what's going on the county level. So, you know, I urge somebody who is active on the county level to come on Focus on the Albany and to do shows with me like Zach is doing. I think that's really terrific. So we have some time left. So Zach, in this introductory show, tell us a little bit more about you.
Gosh, so let's see. So I work in the legal profession. I'm a patent prosecution paralegal, where I do solely patent prosecution. I do domestic and foreign intellectual property law work. I work with, you know, numerous attorneys. So basically I do that during the day, and then in the evening I kind of shift gears and go to meetings, go to events. I stay busy. I stay very busy. I wouldn't have it any other way. But
have you thought about, I don't know if you can do it, take the bar exam and become a full-fledged lawyer?
Well, I'm not a lawyer, no, but there is an avenue to become a patent agent, because I have an undergraduate degree in the sciences, so that is one avenue I am actively looking at, is taking a patent bar to become a patent agent in due course.
Okay, so what does that entail?
Oh, taking the patent bar exam? Probably a good, you know, 2 to 3 months of, you know, nose to the grindstone studying. So I'm actually toying with potentially taking it this winter, you know, when it's really cold outside.
So when you take it,
yes,
and pass it,
yes,
what will that enable you to do?
It'll enable me to represent clients before the United States Patent and Trademark Office regarding patent matters. I can't do trademarks. Trademarks, you have to be an actual attorney. You have to take a state bar to do trademarks, because litigation is involved at times with trademarks. But I will be able to represent clients, both foreign and domestic, and all aspects of patent work, from the conception of idea to the issuance of a patent to the maintaining of that patent.
A trademark is just the name of the company. What should that be different from what you do?
Well, trademarks, so what happens is, when you want to do a trademark, you file an application. And then it goes to a trademark examiner, which is an attorney at the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office. And if there's any issues, like if there's any likelihood of confusion between your trademark and somebody else's that's already registered, that's when there's a rejection that occurs. And they'll reject it for specific reasons, and then you have to respond to those rejections effectively. If you can't, then you know your trademark isn't going to get protected. So, but if you can overcome any rejection with your trademark, they'll allow it to issue, and then you'll get a trademark, which you know you maintain every so year, many years.
Okay. So we will we'll talk again possibly next week. And right off the bat, what's the first issue you wanna tackle?
So let's see, what's on my plate next week? I know I have a couple of meetings. Oh, so next Wednesday, the town of Gilderland is meeting at 7 o'clock at the Gilderland Town Hall to talk about that Rap Road Pyramid Corporation project. So I will be there along with other members of the Rap Road Historical Association. I believe some members of Stop the Stories is coming. And there's also going to be some members of What's that?
And Save the Pine Bush.
And Save the Pine Bush. And also members of this other there's actually another group in Gilderland. It's called Gilderland Citizens for Responsible Growth. It's kind of similar to Stop the Stories, but it's in the town of Gilderland. So I'm sure a lot of those folks are going to be there as well. And, of course, we should talk about your Tuesday 1,000th podcast event at Glen Peter. We should talk about how that goes.
I'm kind of nervous.
Oh, don't be nervous. don't be nervous, Cynthia. I'll be there. And then Thursday, Stop the Stories is going to meet. So I'll have some updates for that. So we'll have some things to talk about.
I think the Wednesday night meeting is important because I know I'll be going to that with my friend Russell. So
You're coming to that one too? Oh, good.
Yes, I am.
Great.
So is Pyramid there? Are they everything that they want to do? Are they having success, or is there a lot of pushback?
Well, at the moment, so the town of Gilderland, after having the coordinated review with the county and the city of Albany, they're going to do a positive secret declaration, and they're going to do a full environmental impact statement, looking at all of the properties currently owned by Pyramid within what's called this transit-oriented district, which surrounds Crossgates Mall, and they want to look at all of these other parcels and potential developments that are going to be coming down the pike to see, you know, what the traffic impacts are going to be on Rap Road, as well as the neighboring streets on the city of Albany side and the town of Gilderland side. And hopefully we're really hopeful that there will be some sort of traffic mitigation on Rap Road, because as I said before, the traffic situation is horrendous. It's out of control right now, all times of the day. So,
right, and you know, around St. Peter's Hospital on New Scotland, the traffic there is also horrendous. You know, and I don't see CDTA making an effort to put in more buses. You think that's right? Yeah, I mean, do you think I'm right with that statement?
You know, I don't really utilize CDTA services. I did when I was in college, when I lived downtown, and I'd take the CDTA bus uptown. I always, for my needs, when I was a student, I always thought that CDTA ran very well. There is criticisms. I know there's I don't know if you've ever been to one of the meetings, Citizens for Public Transportation.
I
know they focus.
Go to one, yes.
Yeah, they focus on a lot of the issues surrounding, you know, bus safety, bus stops. So they definitely keep an eye on that issue. But from my perspective, I don't really utilize CDTA services. They're not perfect. I know there's a lot of issues that people have with the Star buses being, you know, timely. Some of the people I've met
right.
in the past. So, but you know, as a general rule, they seem to run pretty on time. So
thanks, Zach, or should I say thank you, my new co-host, for in the know. So
thank
we'll
you.
Talk again. We'll talk again next week.
Sounds so great.
So if you like this show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, download on your smartphone, subscribe to iTunes. If you have a comment about this show, hashtag Focus on Albany. Zach, thanks for appreciating what I do. Thanks for coming on the show. And with your help and with your expertise, we'll make some headway into, you know, making Focus on Albany better than it is now. So thank you so much, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks, Cynthia. I'll see you on Tuesday for your big celebration.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.